In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If I had to pick just one short bit of scripture that best describes Jesus and his ministry, it would be the one that we just heard from Paul's letter to the Philippians. It contains what we think was a hymn that was used in the early church, and if you look on your insert, the part on the second page that is formatted differently was a hymn in the early church, and I would have loved to be able to hear the different music that they set this to. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to one of his communities, one of the Christian communities, from prison. This is a letter full of the joy and the faith that are sustaining him, even as he is in horrible conditions. He's in prison, and as far as he knows, when he's writing this letter, he is on death row. He could be executed at any time. So Paul sends this challenge to the community, which we think was in the midst of some kind of crisis argument. His challenge to the community is this: if you have experienced the risen Christ, show it in your lives. He begins this passage very eloquently. If there is any encouragement, if there is any consolation, if there is any sharing in the Spirit, if there is any compassion and sympathy, then this is how you should act. If there is, well, of course, Paul knows there is encouragement, consolation, sharing in the Spirit, compassion, and sympathy in the Christian community. He's calling these gifts to the attention of this community. Their attention has become focused somewhere else, on some argument. I invite you right now, each of you, to just take a moment and think of a specific example of one of these gifts in this community. It shouldn't take too long. Got it? Now, give thanks to God for this, because what looks like our good works is always really God at work in us. As Paul says later in his letter, and we'll get back to that. So after this initial challenge to the community to remember the goodness that is there, Paul goes on to describe how the people can show Christ in their lives. Put on the mind of Christ, he says. That takes a little unpacking. And this hymn is so beautiful that I'm going to read part of it again. Listen carefully. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Put on the mind of Christ. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. I'll give you a hint. This is not about thinking as much as it is about being and doing. Putting on the mind of Christ is putting on a way of being. Jesus emptied himself, Paul tells us. The Greek word for that is kenosis. It means self-emptying. Christ, who was in the form of God from the beginning, emptied himself of most of that power and was born in human form. This gesture of self-emptying, of kenosis, did not happen only once. Jesus did this over and over and over. Everything Jesus did, from the incarnation, from taking on human form, to his passion, when he died for love of us, everything he did by self-emptying, by going lower, by taking the lower place. This kind of love is expressed very well by the poet Rumi, who said, "Love is recklessness, not reason." Think of some of the parables that Jesus taught, particularly the prodigal son, which most of us know, and the one we had last week, the laborers in the vineyard. These parables show us a God that overflows with love and compassion, a God who gives beyond measure, a God whose generosity is beyond our comprehension. This self-emptying that Jesus did is shows us what love really is, the willingness to give all for the good of the other. Cynthia Bourgeau, who teaches very well about this kenosis, tells this story as an example, and many of you know this story by O. Henry, called The Gifts of the Magi, or The Gift of the Magi. Long years ago, there was a young couple who were madly in love and incredibly poor. And it was Christmas time, and they didn't have any money, and they owned almost nothing, and they wanted to give each other a wonderful present. The only thing, really, that the young woman had was this beautiful, long, thick, red hair. And the only thing that the young man had was a beautiful, old, gold pocket watch that his grandfather had given him. Those were their prize possessions. So having no other way to pay for anything, the young man pawned the watch so he could buy his love some beautiful silver combs for her long, long, thick hair. And of course, she didn't know he was doing that, and at the same time, she cut her hair very short, and she sold it so that she could buy him a beautiful gold watch chain for his watch. Well, imagine them when they opened these gifts. In one way of looking at it, they were seemingly useless gifts, sort of pointless, unless, of course, that the whole point of their actions was to make love visible, was to show what real love is, to reveal the willingness to give all for the other. And of course, that was O. Henry's point with this beautiful story. This act, this gesture, this sacred gesture of self-emptying is not easy. It got Jesus in all kinds of trouble as he continued to empty himself out, healing and teaching the crowds, healing on the Sabbath, eating and drinking with the lowest of the low in his society, who then were the tax collectors and the prostitutes. This self-emptying led Jesus to the cross, where he freely gave up his life out of love for us. Paul knows all of this and feels it very deeply. And maybe this is why he says to his beloved community, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." If we really begin to grasp what kenosis is, what Jesus did, what we are called to do, we should tremble. Paul is asking much from his community and from us. We should tremble with awe. But we don't have to be afraid. Jesus never said, "Be afraid." Jesus always said, "Do not fear. I am with you. I will be with you always. God is with you." So there are some practices that we can do in our spiritual lives to practice in a small way this self-emptying, this kenosis. There's a place in our liturgy that's particularly appropriate for this sacred gesture. Have you ever thought about what it is that we are actually doing liturgically, as a community, during the offertory? Well, of course, part of it is, at this service, the choir always sings a beautiful anthem. That's wonderful. And we have people bring the wine and the bread forward out of the community, and that's part of it. But there's more. We are not just passing the plates and putting in cash or checks, although that's an important part of it too. Because offering a part of our material resources to God is important. But the offertory is meant to be the part of the liturgy where the entire community offers itself to God every week. Every week in our liturgy, each one of us has the opportunity to intentionally offer our whole selves to God. And although we will fall short of this full offering as we live our daily lives, each week we have another opportunity to remember our desire to do this, which actually comes from God, is a gift from God, our desire to do this. And we can recommit to practicing this sacred work of self-emptying, of kenosis. So beginning today and for a number of weeks, we're going to sing a presentation hymn, which I think probably puts into words this action in the best way of any of the hymns that we have. And so when we get to the presentation hymn, it's hymn number 707. I will invite you to really pray these words, to pay attention to these words that we sing, and pray these words as a prayer to God, as a part of the offertory. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my heart, it is Thine own, it shall be Thy royal throne. And there's another wonderful verse that we will also sing. So when we are able, for whatever period of time we are able, to put on the mind of Christ, to have the same mind as Christ, and empty ourselves for the good of another, for the good of the world, remember to give thanks to God. Because always, what looks like our good work is always God at work in us. Amen.